Our text this morning is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, where we read, "By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace." I've said that this chapter is a chapter where we have a gallery of faith, monuments of faith, men and women of the Old Testament who believed and were counted righteous by faith. Now, of course, all sorts of monuments are raised for all sorts of reasons. Some of you have visited Paris. There, the Arc de Triomphe is a monument, 164 feet high and 148 feet wide. It's so big that a daredevil pilot once flew his plane between the pillars of the Arc de Triomphe. It was commissioned by Napoleon after his victory at Austerlitz, when he was at the peak of his fame. And it was finally completed in 1833. And all over Europe and here in London, there are arches and columns. We have Nelson's Column, don't we? Upon which are recorded the victories of generals, of monarchs, of emperors. Well, the writer of Hebrews is raising for us this morning this triumph, this victory, this monument, if you like, towards faith. And in an unusual setting. We've seen in Hebrews chapter 11, faith triumphing over death. Enoch did not go through physical death, but went to heaven as he walked with God. We have faith triumphing over weakness. Abraham and Sarah had a son in their old age. We have faith triumphing even over affection. Abraham climbed to the top of a mountain and raised a knife to sacrifice his only son of promise according to the command of God. And God intervened and provided a substitute. We have faith triumphing over worldliness. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. But this morning, here we have faith triumphing over what we might think as big sin. Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. Can a harlot, can a prostitute be forgiven? Well, here God celebrates the faith of Rahab as an example of the grace of God at work. The great forgiveness of God. Rahab's salvation was not based on her character. She lived in a doomed city. She had engaged in a sinful lifestyle. She had engaged in Canaanite false religion. She told a lie about her actions. And yet she had faith and she was spared the judgment of God. And the Bible describes her, Rahab, the harlot. In Wales, often we have people whose names are associated with what they do. Jones the milk, Evans the paper, Williams the coal. Rahab the harlot. But a woman transformed by the grace of God. A hopeless woman to begin with. A pagan living in spiritual darkness. A prostitute selling her body. A Canaanite bound for destruction. And yet, through the grace of God and by faith, she was forgiven and transformed. So transformed that she married a prince of Israel, became the great, great grandmother of great King David. And amazingly, she is found in the bloodline of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So she went from disgrace to dignity. She was transformed wonderfully by the grace of God. How did it happen? Well, we've turned to Joshua chapter 2 to see something of how this happened. God had commanded his people to take the land of Canaan. They'd come out of the wilderness, but But between them and the promised land, there was this walled, fortified city of Jericho. A city that seemed impregnable. Joshua selected two men, God's representatives, and they went into the city of Jericho and they met Rahab. We read about it in Joshua chapter 2. Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men. Go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. How did they know where to find a house of prostitution? Well, here we come to this scarlet cord. There is a body of evidence now to suggest that prostitutes identified their homes at that time with a scarlet cord. Today, we say a red light district. Perhaps back then they said a red cord district. So they entered Rahab's home. And you might think, who would have concerned themselves with two men visiting such a home? And what Rahab did next has troubled people, because Rahab reported that the two spies had come to a house but had left, when in truth she was hiding them on the roof. And that has troubled some people. How can this woman be included in this Hall of Fame then? And perhaps you've wrestled with that issue if you've read the account in Joshua. And I don't have the final solution to that problem. But we should understand this. No one in Hebrews chapter 11 and no one here this morning is perfect. Every single person commended for his or her faith in Hebrews chapter 11, every man, every woman, every single one of us, a sinner. And Rahab was no different then. She's not commended for her lie. She is commended for her faith. What was great about Rahab's faith was she received the spies with peace. We notice actually that the aspect of her faith that is commended is not even that she hung the scarlet cord out of her window. What Hebrews actually says is, no, she's commended for her faith because she received the spies with peace. So let's look at the faith of this woman who was forgiven much and transformed by the grace of God. She was convicted by the Spirit. Listen to how it's recorded in Joshua chapter 2. These men who came, who she hid on the roof, she said to them, I know that the Lord. Now, if you are reading along and you've brought a Bible with you, or you're looking on a phone, the word Lord there is in capital letters. It's the covenant name for God. The God of covenant mercy, loving kindness and grace. I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord, again, capital letters, Lord, covenant God of mercy, dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sion and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord, capital letters again, covenant God of mercy. For the Lord, your God, he is God. He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. How did she come to confess the Lord? He is God. It was the work of the Spirit of God in her. What did she hear? She heard how God had dried up the waters of the Red Sea. How God had defeated Sion and Og. Now that was 40 years before this. Who here this morning talks about what happened in the UK 40 years ago. Is anyone going to be talking this morning about the workers of the British Steel Corporation who went on a nationwide strike in 1980 to get a 20% pay rise? Nobody's going to be talking about that. I doubt if anyone remembers that it was on the 30th of June 1980 that the pre-decimal sixpence coin was withdrawn from circulation. Does anyone now care that Radio Caroline, the pirate radio station, stopped broadcasting because the ship ran aground in the Thames Estuary in 1980? None of us are talking about those things now. They happened 40 years ago. But Rahab, she was talking about what God had done 40 years before. At the Red Sea, the defeat of the two kings. God was at work in the heart of this woman, Rahab. She heard about God. And how is anyone convicted about the one true living God and the need to be right with him? It's by the work of the Holy Spirit. Particularly we notice here that she says in verse 11, "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." Now that's a declaration of her faith. It's in contradiction to everything she would have believed as a Canaanite before. She would have been raised to believe that there are many gods. And yet now she asserts that the Lord, the covenant God of Israel, he is God. It's an assertion about who God is. That he alone is the true God. That all other gods are false. How foolish we are sometimes to worship and put in first in our lives the idols and the false gods of this world. People living for money or sex or power. But Rahab had faith, the one true living God. And then that was revealed by more than just her words. The fact that she hid the spies is a testimony again to her faith. She received the spies with peace. So here's a woman who had a sinful past, making now a statement of faith. This fortified city of Jericho, all the people in that city, God at work in the heart and life of this woman. Was it just by chance that those two spies just happened to go to the house of Rahab? There is a God of providence, a God who works all things according to the counsel of his will. This was not just an accident. God used Rahab, yes, to rescue the spies. She hid them. They trusted this woman to protect them. She helped them escape. She let them down through a window in the city wall. She gave them a plan of escape and rescue. But overarching all of it, the mighty providence of God. Great providence of heaven. What wonders shine in its profound display of God's design. God working his purposes. These men, like a guided missile, God brought them right to the house of Rahab. Right to the heart of the woman. He had already been working in Rahab's heart. That means for you this morning and me, if we're Christians, we do not know, do we, in families, in a street, in colleagues, in people we meet, where God the Holy Spirit has already been at work. And sometimes God uses the word, the witness, the life of a Christian, led by the Holy Spirit, with that person where God has already been at work, and the believer led by the Holy Spirit are brought together. That even now this morning, God the Holy Spirit working in someone's heart. And who knows that in the providence of God, that you might be the person who meets that man, that woman, that young person, that boy, that girl. And God uses your witness for his glory. In Acts chapter 8, a wealthy Ethiopian had been to Jerusalem to worship. And he was out in the desert reading the book of the prophet Isaiah. And God had been at work in his heart. And God was also at work in the heart and life of a man called Philip. And Philip left a great spiritual harvest to meet with and talk with just one man. Philip went where God sent him. And he did what God told him. And God brought Philip like a guided missile to a wealthy Ethiopian in whose heart God had already been at work. And that's how the Ethiopian man was saved. In John chapter 4, there was another woman with a difficult past. There was a woman at a well. Was it just coincidence that the Lord Jesus Christ happened to be at that well at just the same time as that woman was at the well? That was no coincidence. Most Jews wouldn't travel through Samaria. They looked down on Samaritans, but the Bible says Jesus had to go through Samaria. Because there was a woman there who by the grace of God would be forgiven and saved and cleansed and her whole life changed. Jesus had to go through Samaria, not just because of geography, but the providence of God. In the providence of God, God may use your witness in that way. Let's pray it may be so this week and in weeks ahead, particularly at a time when there are men and women asking questions about what is happening in our society. Here's a woman. She was convicted by the Spirit. It was God at work in her heart. Then secondly, she was convinced by the Word. Notice what she said in verse 21. When the spies told her what she should do, she said, "According to your words, so be it." James, in his letter, calls these two men, James chapter 2, verse 25, he doesn't call them two spies, James calls them two messengers. That they were more than spies. They were also messengers. They brought a message to this woman. A message from whom? A message from God. So be it according to your word. They were messengers. So be it according to the word of God. You see, what is biblical faith? Biblical faith is not self-confidence. It's not the power of positive thinking. It's not wishing upon a star. It's not a leap in the dark. Real faith is taking God at his word. Do you take God this morning at his word? You say, "Lord, here's your word. So be it." Faith takes God at his word. I read a story this last week about Napoleon, that man who arranged for the Arc de Triomphe to be built in Paris. He was riding in review before his troops. His horse bolted, went out of control, and was dashing down the road, and his life was in danger. And a soldier risked his own life to grab hold of the runaway horse to save the Emperor Napoleon. And Napoleon apparently sat up on his horse and said to this man, "Thank you, Captain." And the man said, "Captain? Captain of what?" "Captain," said Napoleon, "of my lifeguards." Now, captain of lifeguards to Napoleon, they were an elite regiment, specially trained soldiers who were dedicated to the personal protection of the emperor. The man apparently then went over to where the lifeguards were lined up. And the person who had lined the lifeguards up told this man to go back to the ranks. And the man said, "I am the captain of Napoleon's lifeguards." And the man who'd lined the troops up thought, this man is a bit crazy. Drag him away. Napoleon rode up and said, he is the captain of my life guards. Loose him, said Napoleon. He is the captain of my life guards. In other words, Napoleon had said it, the man believed it, and then acted on it. Now, faith is like that. Faith says, this is God's word. I'm going to believe it and act upon it. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you believe it? And if you believe it, you will act upon it. You will call on God's name and say, Lord, save a sinner like me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. That's why it's important you hear the word of the Lord, hear the word of God on the Lord's day, listen to biblical preaching. That's why Bible study is important. That's why we run online Bible studies on a Monday night on Zoom. Why here in the church building on a Thursday we have a Bible study. Why do we stress the importance of the word of God? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It's also important then that you get alone with God every day. Spend time with God and with the Bible, the word of God, every day. Your mind, your heart, your soul becomes full of the Bible. You won't have faith until you hear and act upon, believe God speaking to you by his word and by his Holy Spirit. And that's what this woman did. She was convinced, convicted, convicted by the Spirit, convinced by the word of God. According to your word, so be it, she says. And then thirdly, she was converted by her faith. Again, Joshua chapter 2 and the second half of verse 21. She sent the spies away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. The spies had said to her, you bind that scarlet cord in the window, and when we attack this city and take it, when we see that scarlet cord in the window, everyone who's in the house with you, we will pass over them. We'll pass over this house. No judgment shall come on this house, we will pass over you. Now, if you've read the Bible, what does that remind you of? In Exodus chapter 12, God told his people to take the blood of a perfect, spotless lamb, a lamb without blemish, and to put the blood of that lamb on the doorposts and the lintels of their homes. And God said, when I see the blood, I shall pass over you. Why do you think these spies told her to put that scarlet cord in the window? It was a sign that she now was acting on faith. She had come into a knowledge of the covenant God, and she trusted in God. She accepted the word of these men and bound a scarlet cord out of her window. And because her heart had been changed, the burden that she had for a family changed. No sooner does she make this profession of faith than she was determined to tell her family about the true God. And it appears from Hebrews 11:31 that she told others as well. She did not perish with those who did not believe. So she started to speak about God to her family, to others. I wonder what her family said when she first witnessed to them. Don't be crazy, Rahab. There's no danger for you. We live in Jericho. You live on the strongest part of the city. You live on the city walls. There's no need to be concerned, Rahab. That scarlet cord can't save anyone. If we're going to be saved, we're going to have to save ourselves. Or some might have said there's plenty of time to think about putting a scarlet cord out of a window. I mean, If they're going to take this city, they'll have to come with siege engines and battering rams and dig under the walls. It's going to take years for them. But Rahab believed. She acted in faith. She bound the scarlet cord in the window. They departed, went to the mountain, did what she'd said. Then when they got back to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered, not will deliver, has delivered, again, faith, has delivered all the land into our hands. For indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. And Jericho, the city was taken. And when the city was taken, there were nice people, rich people, well-educated people who perished. They did not believe. They'd set their faces against God. You see, not understanding how enormous, how terrible, what a problem our sin really is before a holy God. There were many people like that in Jericho. They were still in their sins and they'd never seen the exceeding sinfulness of sin. What a monster it is before a holy God. Which is why we thank God this morning that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, which that scarlet cord points to, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if anyone asks you if they're beyond the reach of the grace of God, you can say, well, there was a woman called Rahab. Think of all that sin, that past, that stained reputation. And yet God says, her iniquity is pardoned. Her sin is covered. Washed away, cleansed. Her sin washed away, even her scarlet sins, whiter than snow. Now that doesn't mean that sexual sin doesn't matter. It matters greatly. But Rahab was forgiven. The grace of God reached her. She was freed. She knew the blessing of peace with God. So for people who feel they're unworthy of God's forgiveness, we have good news this morning, because it's only unworthy people who go to heaven and are forgiven. People who've messed up, fooled around, made many stupid, foolish mistakes. And we say to them, Jesus Christ died for sinners. If you're a sinner, then you're the sort of person Jesus Christ saves. Because when you admit your sin before God, there is forgiveness with God for you. If God can save Rahab, he can save you. He can save anyone. And this transformation in this woman, she became a great, great grandmother of King David. And when we move to the New Testament and read Matthew chapter 1, Matthew in chapter 1 gives us what's called the genealogy, the family tree of Jesus. And he does it to verify who Jesus truly is, born in the line of David. But before we get to King David, in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5, we read this. A man called Salmon begot Boaz. Boaz was his son. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. There she is, this woman of faith, in the genealogy of the Saviour, Jesus Christ. She's listed in this hall of fame in Hebrews chapter 11. James says she's an example of someone who's justified freely by grace through faith. Forgiveness of sins. So when Joshua attacked Jericho and the city was taken, we read in chapter 6, verse 1, that Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And yet there was someone in that city someone with her household who was spared, though the city was shut up, because she put a scarlet cord in her window. And that household, because she acted in faith, was spared the judgment that came. I'm told it's been an anniversary of the attack on the World Trade Center this month. I'm told that those who escaped the World Trade Center on 9/11, 300 survivors were interviewed. The ones who survived are those who didn't delay. But once they knew there was a problem, they ran for safety immediately. The ones who did not delay were the ones who survived. Those who delayed were those who perished. Now, if I can use an analogy into the spiritual life, there are those who delay, put off trusting in Jesus Christ. They say, I'll think about it tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, when I'm older, some other time. Don't delay till it's too late. Rahab responded to God's grace. And I'm saying to you this morning, respond to God's grace. Today is the day of salvation, says the Bible. Today. So don't say to me, I'm too young, or I'm too old, or I'm too good, or I'm too bad, or it's too soon, or later. One day, there will be a judgment day, as there was a judgment day for the city of Jericho. It's only in the Lord Jesus Christ that there is safety and there is refuge. So now is the acceptable time. Today is a day of salvation. While it is today, call on the Lord and you can know that wonderful grace and forgiveness that there is with God, as Rahab did long ago. Let's come to God in prayer together. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for the wonder of your grace. Wonderful grace that gives what I don't deserve. None of us deserves or can earn or merit forgiveness. But we praise you, Lord, for that grace which is greater than all our sins. We thank you for the forgiveness that Rahab experienced long ago. We thank you for the testimony of many here this morning who say that, yes, they have tasted and known this wonderful forgiveness from God by faith in Jesus Christ and by the cleansing of Jesus' shed blood. And we pray, Lord, that many here this morning, many who hear your word today, may also come to experience and know and give testimony to the fact that though their sins are many, your mercy is more, and that grace for them in Jesus Christ, there is a way of forgiveness for all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And may all the praise and honor and glory, Lord, be yours alone, the God of salvation, as we come to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to inwardly sing along to our last hymn, which picks up this theme about the wonderful grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful grace that gives what I don't deserve, pays me what Christ has earned. Our forgiveness is based on what Jesus Christ has done for us by faith in him. We'll stay sitting. If you want to sing along inwardly, that'd be great.
Grace be what brought us in.
Now let's hear the words of benediction. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of you and with all the people of God, today and even for evermore. Amen.